your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Reiki Master and host Phyllis Lei Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Today I have a special treat for all of us. Grant Melcher is here, and you haven't heard of him, of course, because he is a brand new first-degree student. And, you know, I've been looking for a brand new student to interview, and the ones that I've asked have always begged off, saying that they don't have enough experience or they don't know what to say, and... Well, Grant's a little bit different.
Yeah, a little.
A little. So, Grant, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Phyllis. Yeah. Thank you.
And one of the reasons why I thought that Grant might work in this particular situation is because of his own chosen lifestyle, his what he's done before and then chosen something different. And I've loved his stories. And I also see, along with him, the potential that Reiki has to enrich all of the things that you're doing now, Grant, in your life. So that's been really inspiring.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So we always start, maybe this is boring for some people, but not for me, with how you got into Reiki and, yeah, what brought you to the class.
Well, I am brand new to Reiki, obviously, but I've got a meditation practice, or I've had an active meditation practice over the last 6-7 years or so, and it just seemed like there was something I wanted to enliven my meditational practice, and I got to a point where I'm 43, and I had a moment when I was sitting where I felt like I wanted to age gracefully. I don't know why that popped into my head. Like, great. I'm 43 and I found myself doing construction for some reason out of the blue. And I just thought, you know, I don't think I'll be able to age gracefully, you know, pounding up sheds. So maybe I should open up my energy and see if I could find something that would allow me. I wanted to give back. Uh-huh. You know, at that age where I think I've taken plenty in my life, and so I would like to do something to give back. And so I think at some point I'd always heard of Reiki and never really quite knew what it was. I think a lot of pretty common story.
It's yes. Like
it was floating in the ether for a while. And I had called my dad one day and was talking to him about, you know, hey, Dad, I'm not quite sure, you know, I'm doing these different things and I'm not sure where I'm going with it, and I'm trying to kind of see if I can get a new direction. I think I'm having a mild midlife crisis. and he's in his 70s and he's pretty conservative, and he was having his knees replaced, and he mentioned, he goes, you know, I'm having my knees replaced, and I go to the senior center and the lady was doing massage on me. And she said, hey, I've just learned something called Reiki. Do you mind if I do some Reiki on you after our massage? And my very conservative 70-year-old father, who I, in a million years, I would not have guessed would have been open to very different things, he's always surprising me, said, sure, you know, give it a whirl. Let's try it. You know, can't hurt. And so she did Reiki on him, and he said, he was telling me how he felt the heat and his knee felt much better afterwards. And he said something that you had mentioned also. He said, you know, it didn't feel like my knee was healed. He just said it felt better. And that he really enjoyed that. He said her hand felt really warm and that his knee just had a wonderful feeling to it.
Uh-huh.
And then the surgery went tremendous for him. And so for some odd reason, I thought, well, you know, if my dad can be open to it, I've been thinking about it, maybe Reiki is something I should explore. And next thing you know, an email kind of from David, who's one of your Reiki master candidates, kind of found its way into my email box somehow, and I thought, well, okay, that's the third Reiki thing I've heard of in the last couple of weeks, and then you were coming to give a class, and I thought, okay, there you go. I think that should be telling me that the forces that be are telling me that maybe I should head to this class. This could be a good thing. Go on, scoot. So that would be my story on how I ended up in your class over the last
week. Wonderful. And how was the class for you?
You know, I really, really have to admit that it's pretty much exactly what I thought.
Really?
Yes.
Well, good for you.
I think, oddly enough, I was, I think for those that do have a meditational practice, you will recognize, for me anyway, that the Reiki, starting to do Reiki, has really brought up a lot of the things that you bring up when you meditate.
Like?
Emotional things, perhaps, that you hadn't thought about. As opposed to saying, oh, my knee hurts, I'll go through the positions and, you know, I'm hoping that my knee won't hurt. Well, you may go through the first couple of positions, and then you get to, say, for me, it's the chest, the first chest position, and all of a sudden, my mind just starts shooting off images and ideas and swirling emotions, whereas I didn't really get that maybe through the first three. They were nice, the first three positions, but all of a sudden, that position is bringing up, to me, they're like images. And if you meditate, you kind of get the feel of, you know, when your mind just won't be still. Like you can't stop thinking about lunch or your business meeting or whatever, and so you keep coming back to center. And so that Reiki had that quality for me where it seemed to focus this sense of, you've been doing this work with your mind. Your body is going to need some healing, but it also has... you need to work through these emotional things first, perhaps, and then your body will follow. So I think for me, and I'm sure everybody doesn't experience it that way, I had a sense that that may be what Reiki would do for me personally. And so that is kind of borne out to be true in the little that we've practiced and I've been able to do on others. But the self-treatment especially... that's how I've experienced it so far, and so far so good.
Great. So one of the things that I think, because I haven't ever had what I would call a meditation practice as such, I realized after our talk during lunch that I did have this kind of assumption about meditation, that it was peaceful and quiet. And I used to go to a Zen retreat center between Albuquerque and Santa Fe, and it's called something Hot Springs. Now I can't remember the name of it, but anyway, I used to just love watching the people who were sitting, because they not only would sit in the do you call it a dojo? In the meditation hall, they would also do outside sitting, and they would do walking meditation. Then during the winter time, sometimes they would do meditation sitting in the snow, and that was just so awesome. So, you know, I always had this feeling that meditation was supposed to be like peaceful and calm, and I realized that I probably couldn't ever do that because I definitely was not peaceful.
No. What do you got there?
No. So, I mean, that's interesting to hear from you that meditation can bring up something other than peace and calm.
Oh, absolutely. I have to admit, when I started a Zen practice, that I sort of thought the same thing. I thought, like, oh, well, this will be great. I'll learn to sit, and I'll be, you know, sort of the peaceful warrior, and I'll have this wonderful, peaceful thing going on, and everything will be fabulous and wonderful.
Yeah.
And the reality of it is that it brings up those things that need healing, those things that need attention. And then if you
keeps you maybe from peace and calm.
Absolutely. And so when you start to look at those things, and you can see them, sometimes you still can't stop them. It's like being on a freight train. It's like the only difference is the first time you didn't know there was a freight train. You start sitting for a while and you realize, like, oh, wait, that's a freight train. You can see it. Maybe the third time you're like, oh, wait, I can slow the freight train down. Maybe the fourth time you see that freight train, it's like, you know, is that really a freight train? The fifth time, you know, that, and so on and so forth until eventually there is no freight train. And that's why I feel like Reiki is a beautiful piece of the puzzle for me. To fit with yoga and meditation. I feel like Reiki is an interesting, just a neat complement. And I'm really looking forward to it. And that's why I'm so excited about starting and really how you've presented the four-day course. I love how you presented the fact that it's an opportunity to put something in our lives, to open up to something in our lives that allows us to start to see us. And it's not something, there's such a mystery to it. I love the fact that you really didn't come across as like, oh, I am the master now, and I will now give you this great piece of wisdom, and you will go forth and have this great piece of wisdom. You know, no offense, but you were wonderful. You had a wonderful humility to you that I found my Zen teachers have too. That they say, you know, the beauty of this is opening to the mystery and keeping that beginner's mind, if you will.
Yeah, beginner mind is great.
Yeah, and I love that sense of how you presented the Reiki course that way of like, you know what? A lot of times I don't know why this works, but here's my experience of what I have felt. And you know what? That mystery, if we can, because that's what keeps us smiling. You know, when I get all bogged down in the details of stuff and am I doing this right and am I doing that right, I always notice, and you were saying this as we were working on the final swoosh, or, oh, wait, no, I'm not getting that right. What's the final...
the finishing stroke.
The finishing stroke. I'm sorry. I got the swoosh in my head.
The swoosh is good.
Yeah. So as we're doing the finishing, and you could tell, even though you were face down and people were practicing on you, you would just say, and smile. Because you could tell. We were all like, okay, do I have my hands the right way? Am I swooshing? Ooh, did I get too much swoosh? You know, so it's that type of thing, I think, that... really, I think Reiki, I'm just so looking forward to how Reiki will integrate, you know, how can I organize my life to where Reiki is, we talked about it being a lifestyle. It's not something I just want to dabble at. It's something that maybe even more so than even yoga, perhaps. I mean, I enjoy yoga tremendously, but just the few starting where we're at now and doing some of the individual Reiki treatments has started to affect even just quickly how I breathe in yoga.
Interesting.
Yes, it has a different quality to it and the focus in, you know, and that's why I'm looking forward to just breathing and organically letting the Reiki sort of infuse itself, you know, be patient with it. You know, that I tend to have an issue right there where you know, I want the Reiki and I want it now. You know, right. I want the yoga and I want to do 3 hours now. Or, you know, I want to sit and I'm going to sit all weekend and be enlightened.
Right.
Whereas I love when you were talking about your grandmother, and this is something I've heard from a Zen teacher too, but I love to hear it again when you said it. She said, you know, a little Reiki is better than no Reiki.
Exactly.
I love that. If you can just remember, even if you can just do 5 minutes a day, whether it's yoga, Reiki, sitting, a little of all of them, even at just a couple minutes, you know, each day to kind of help keep in touch with it, because then there may be a time when you can do more.
Great, Grant. Well, I just want you all to know that he's not a plant. He really is saying this from himself. And this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Almeen for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's Seventh Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Are you tired of carrying a heavy wooden massage table around? Is your back sore? Or do you have imprints of cables and braces on your kneecaps after sitting and giving a Reiki treatment? Try a lightweight Astrolite massage table for maximum comfort. Contact us, Paul or Upasana, at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Over there, over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here with Grant Melcher and...
The Ficus.
The Ficus. He calls himself the Ficus because I told you guys that he's not a plant. He's a tree.
He's a tree.
He's a tree. So when you were just a sprout, Grant, he was telling me that you were you got into music.
I did.
I'm just I don't want to get into the long version of the story. But what Grant is doing now for part of his livelihood is just fantastic and has the potential to marry that with Reiki is just awesome. So I'm just... So you were a rock and roll... You were a wannabe rock and roll star.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, it's embarrassing to admit. I wanted to be a rock star in my 20s.
Uh-huh.
My dad told me to be retired when I was... He actually said if he was going to do it all over again... He would be retired from 20 to 30 and then get his job at 30 and just work until he expired. And so he says that's the way life ought to be. And so, yeah, I took my 20s to try to do the sex, drugs, and rock and roll thing.
Uh-huh.
it didn't go so well.
Yeah, it didn't go so well. So then what?
Thank goodness. Well, so a friend of mine who was a massage therapist was doing geriatric massage, and he said, you know, I know you're real burnt out on music and it's been real hard for you, but he said, why don't you come down and just play some songs and you know, no pressure, you do whatever you want, they're not going to care, and you can just kind of be you. And so I did that, and, you know, a couple of weeks went by and a couple of months went by and kept doing it, and the residents were laughing and having a good time with it, and eventually the activity director hired me to come and do a formal hour, and she paid me to do it, and she introduced me to some more activity directors, and the next thing you know, I mean, I tend to be pretty gregarious, I suppose.
Well, that's putting it mildly, I think.
So the next thing you know, I turned it into a cottage industry, because I couldn't believe that I could make part of my living, going in and having fun and singing. And it was just me, a guitar, no PA, no anybody, no bass player, no drummer,
right.
No stress, no, just go have fun and connect with people. I would talk about my dog and my flowers and my day, tell jokes, recite poetry, sing songs. It doesn't make any difference if I was any good at singing. It was the human connection.
And that's fantastic.
Yeah, and that taught me a lot. Like, maybe I was missing the point about music to begin with. You know, how much... I know a lot of people from that time that are still playing music. They love playing music. I don't think I loved playing music. I think I thought... I loved the thought of trying to be a rock star more. I think that's what I really liked. I enjoyed playing music. Well, I really wanted to be a rock star.
Right. And so... I got that the audience of people who are in a nursing home, are they mostly nursing homes?
Nursing homes. The interest of playing Alzheimer's ward. Funny enough, you can play the same song over and over again, and they'll ask for the same song like three times in a row. It's, I have to admit, it's funny. It's kind of cute.
Right.
And even though the one thing it taught me, really, I think more than anything that I'm still trying to learn is humility. Because most people in nursing homes, you know, they're having a rough go of it, you know, for many different reasons. Some of them physical, some of them, you know, a lot of different reasons. And so I think one thing that it really taught me was, like when I first started to do it, you know, a lot of times they wouldn't clap or something. And so we're taught from a young age, you know, if you're good at doing something, people will clap and tell you you're wonderful. And
yes,
you'll get this,
exactly.
This stroke from it, and then
exactly.
You'll do it some more, and everything will be fabulous.
Exactly.
So you're out there doing your thing, and nobody's clapping, and it's like, oh, goodness, you know, what am I doing here, you know?
And when is when, anybody listening?
Is anybody listening? Yeah. And so So I finally, when I'd started a contemplative practice about the same time, and one of my teachers said, you know, how does it feel to slow down when you play? And I didn't know what the heck he was talking about. And finally, one day, I at the end of the show, I stopped and I hugged one of the ladies, and she whispered in my ear, she said, Grant, I'm sorry I can't clap because I have really bad arthritis, but I just want you to know I'm so glad you came and we're here today and you really made my day. Please come back. And after I got over the feeling of feeling like a horse's ass for the fact that, you know, I was wanting them to clap, and it never occurred to me that, oh, wait, you know, maybe they can't.
Right.
I was like, okay, good thinking there, you know, compassionate boy. But after I got over that and realized, like, wow, you know, that's what he meant by slowing down. If I take the time, as opposed to just packing up and leaving.
Right.
Stopping, slowing down, making some connections, hugging, you know, the human touch. Boy, I tell you what, I discovered in a heartbeat that no matter what age, we want human touch.
Uh-huh.
We crave human touch. And in nursing homes, oh my goodness, it's a community of people that are starved. And
uh-huh.
that's what they are hungry for. And I think we miss out. I think sometimes we get real used to not being touched. And we forget, you know, about that.
Yes.
And I know this is sort of a non sequitur, but you talked about that in the course about Reiki opening up and helping us to remember the things that we forgot, kind of the ancient things of
the
who we are.
The ancient things, yes.
Yeah, and so that's how that spoke to me. When you were talking about that during the course, what I was thinking about was like, oh, you know, all these folks in these nursing homes that I've hugged and sort of who've whispered in my ear, thank you. That's how they've shown me that, you know, we appreciate you being here. And we appreciate the fact that you've taken the time, you know, to hug us. Because many of them will apologize because they're physically, you know, and it's all, they'll say, you know, I'm sorry that I've got bad eczema, or I'm sorry that I, you know, my shoulder is bad, you know, and, you know, I'm sorry you have to bend over to hug me in my wheelchair. You know, I mean, I've heard a lot of I'm sorry's, and it can be kind of heartbreaking sometimes, but it's almost not. It's like, oh, you know, don't worry. You know, I'm not a problem. I can bend over with no problem.
Right.
So,
right. Beautiful.
Yeah, so that's how one of the things in the class really kind of struck me on my own, where I was, you know, in my life.
Uh-huh.
And so I really appreciated when you were mentioning that in class about those openings,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just remembering Reiki being something that can just help us remember sort of what's ancient in us.
Right.
You know, with all this modern technology and stuff. I still don't own a cell phone, I guess. Modern technology. I need to get on the stick and get a cell phone and become part of the modern world.
Well, but I'm not so sure about that. I think this teacher that you had about slowing down is probably still there.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And one of the things that really has struck me when you were speaking about this little cottage industry that you have of going to these places, these homes and residences for older people, that it's neat to be able to see that touch can come in all stages of our life, and how important it is to understand the value of touch. And I think just like children, older people who don't have the social skills, I mean, we call them skills, but it's kind of a bad word, I think. It's kind of a misnomer, more like social defense mechanisms, that they really can open themselves to anybody who actually has, what would we say, a willing heart.
Yeah, the inclination.
The
really.
Inclination, uh-huh,
yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So,
and if anybody wants to go to a nursing home and just hug people, trust me, they will welcome you with open arms wherever you want to go.
Yeah?
And it can be, I've known some people that have done that. I met my second wife actually in a place called Heartland, which was a nursing home. Our first date was in a nursing home where she came, and I figured I would invite her to a nursing home and that would kind of scare her off.
Uh-huh. And it didn't.
And it didn't. She came, and I was playing and joking with the residents, and we were having a good time. And I call it the ripple. You know how you do the wave? At the ballpark, you do the wave? Well, everybody's in their wheelchairs and stuff, and most residents can't really raise their arms over their heads, so I called it the ripple.
Oh,
so we'd be
wonderful.
Doing the ripple around the room, trying to kind of throw our hands up as high as we could get them. And she was there, and she was laughing, and she jumped right in and started hugging on folks and kind of participating. So that started a very interesting relationship.
Oh,
that,
wow. Beautiful.
We still, that has been up and down in many different ways, but that we still really enjoy, you know, sharing these things with each other. So go figure.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have more of Grant and his inspired lifestyle. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere. On the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolite massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Marissa, are you ready yet? I know you can hear me. You are not missing school again. Marissa! You trying to be a nobody or something? Let's go! All right then. Hit it. I know you can hear this. Hey guys, move closer. That's it. Girl, I am not leaving.
Hey. Whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming!
Took you long enough. Thanks for the help, guys.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing broadcasts each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Yes. We have Grant Melcher with us today. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm in Austin, Texas, and Grant was in my first degree class and was, well, I just thought that he would make a good interview, and I hope that you agree that he has. And we're going to switch a little bit to something that he did, which I have never thought about doing. So the homework, of course, after each class is to do a self-treatment. So the first day before class, you went out, Grant, and did a walking Reiki treatment. Now,
yes.
This is truly creative. I'm not quite sure. I want you to know that I never thought about it, and that the next day I went out for a walk, and I tried it, and it's hard.
Oh, the first position's kind of tricky. You gotta kind of figure out, like, let's see, how am I cheating?
Right.
I gotta make sure I don't hit that stump.
Right.
Well,
you can feel your shoes crunching on the gravel, and then when you hit the branch at the side of the trail, you have a hint.
Yeah.
But walking, I mean, you know, walking and talking, I realize I've got that down, but walking and giving myself Reiki is not so easy.
Well, you know, here in Austin, we have so many beautiful trails and outdoor trails. And I'm pretty lucky with the fact that I've got a lot of time at this point in my life, where I've made a lot of time to just explore, you know, things like Reiki and yoga and kind of see if, you know, they'll lead me to some other place. As far as, you know, growing old gracefully.
Great.
But what I found was that there's something about nature, you know, it just is, it so spectacularly is what it is. It's like, as humans, we can try to choose to be something other than really what we are.
Well, we try.
We try, yeah.
Yeah.
We really make it, we give it our best shot.
We do give it our best shot, that's true.
And boy, you go out into nature and, you know, everything is exactly the way it is because it's just the way it is. You know, trees are trees. They just are what they are. And there's such an energy to that. There's such a power to just... But yet everything's growing. Everything, you know, everything's moving. Everything's changing all around you. You can hear it while you're walking, while you're still. The birds, you know, things are moving and things are changing. But yet when you look at it, it looks like it's been the same way or the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And you can walk down the same path time after time, and it's all perspective. If you walk down that path and it's just a path that's taking you to some place, then your mind starts to go to, well, have I passed that tree yet? Well, I've been by that weird rock that's got the outcropping. Have I been past there yet? well, how long is it after I get to this tree that till I get to my neat little spot with the waterfall? I really want to get to the spot with the waterfall.
Right. And so you end up with goals, mini goals.
Bingo. And so all of a sudden the trail, you forget that you're surrounded by this beautiful energy because your brain is now out front. It's thinking about, like, have I been here yet? Have I been there yet? As opposed to being inside of just intense energy that is nature. And so I purposefully kept walking the same trail to the same place instead of going on different trails over and over again as a discipline to say, can I find this, get back to finding this very present joy and the power of this outdoor nature? And so after our first course, and you gave us the Reiki, the beginning of doing Reiki on ourselves, I thought it was a very natural thing to, as I was, trundling down this trail, I thought, well, why not? I mean, as long as I can see sort of where I'm going, I wonder if it would work. And so I just started putting my hands up there and hiking. And since I do have a real meditational background, I was doing some mantras and things too. But I noticed what the Reiki did, even though I didn't really understand, and I don't know if you necessarily have to, but, excuse me, the one thing I discovered is that, to me, what Reiki feels like is that it focuses the meditation. Whether it's a walking meditation, or whether you're sitting still, or whether I'm giving myself the treatment, I'm not even quite sure, because I'm just so new to it, and new to the energy of it, I'm not quite sure how it feels and intertwines. Is it the same as meditation, that quiet that you feel? Is it a different, more physical energy? How does it interact? I'm looking forward to discovering that. That's a neat thing.
Great questions.
Yeah, and so that energy of walking and the Reiki just helped me. It opened up the immensity of the power of the trees and the birds and just the energy of that trail that I'd been down hundreds of times before. And it actually, because you hike a lot, your knee aches, maybe you twist a right ankle, or you get a rock in your shoe, or your shoulder feels funky, or something, so you're walking down the trail and you're trying not to think, you're getting warmed up, and the Reiki made me quickly forget about the things that were sort of aching a little bit, in that sense that it just made me focus on, wow, look at the energy in this place. I've been on this trail hundreds of times. And, there's so much energy here. How could I ever get tired of walking on this path? There's more energy and more interesting things that energy is moving than I could ever look at in this lifetime. Ever. And so having that moment, I thought, remember this. Remember this feeling. And I'm hoping that if I remember those feelings, that when I do Reiki, I don't want to control the feeling. I just want to remember it. I just want to say, when my hands are on somebody, remember the joy and the wonder of that type of energy that nature gave you that day, that Reiki helped you to see and to feel. Don't worry about doing anything with it. Just remember it. And that's why we were talking about in the previous segment, like, why, when you said, hey, part of what Reiki does is help you remember who you are in this ancient sense. That's why I think that hit me so hard, simply because I was feeling, when you said that, I was like, wow, yeah, I resonate with that. That the energy of that, of our green belt, helped me to resonate with that. And so it was one of those moments where it was like, I really understand what she's saying. I don't just intellectually understand it. I know it. I feel it. And that's a neat thing when you can share that energy.
Right.
Really, really neat.
I have this interesting process for myself that's going on right now around being a part of nature, because I feel that in my upbringing, I don't know, I think this has been pretty natural for most of us in the last 50 years, that we have gone from being of nature to being above nature. That we've removed ourselves from the natural environment, both physically and emotionally. Well, this is a gross generalization, so for those of you who haven't, just know that this is
plenty.
A gross generalization.
Oh, I should say a few.
And it all comes in degrees, but there is a process where somehow we've gotten used to, maybe this is more accurate, to listening to those who have really divorced themselves from nature and feel as though nature is a tool for them to use for their own good.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And my feeling about Reiki is it brings us back to our natural placement in nature. That we all have a place in the circle of our family. We all have a place in the circle of our humanity. And then we all have, and humanity has a place in the circle of nature. And that in part of our remembering, we remember that place. And it allows us to have context. Because even if we don't have, even if we have, let's see, what was it? Even if we remember who we are, if we don't have the context in which to exist, then we're lost. You know, we have another degree of being lost. So this is part of my, this has crept into a lot of the events and workshops that I've been giving recently, besides first and second degree. These are things for masters or for second degree students who have practiced for a while and first degree students, to come to a place where we use Reiki to connect with that place and to understand our placement in the natural world.
Interesting.
And I'm just wondering if this connects at all to you.
You know, absolutely. Absolutely. I think part of when that energy, trying to think when there's that energy, I'm not quite sure how to. We're in an area where it's hard to describe. Like there are those that just don't understand what it means to feel that energy. Like I don't know why in this life I've had an opportunity to walk down a trail and to feel that energy. And you forget that there are those out there, unfortunately, that have no connection to that energy. And I think that may be, like, there's no context. They can look at a forest, and it doesn't occur to them that there's an energy there. It's just a forest. Like, they may be looking at a lamp, so it's a lamp.
Right.
They may be looking at a bed, so it's a bed. They look at a forest, and it doesn't mean anything to them. It's a forest. Whereas I think when you get into the forest, it becomes energy. And so, if I'm not sure if I'm hearing like your context right, but it's the difference between intellectualizing a spiritual practice, like understand. Like in Western psychology, we can say, well, you know, maybe your mom or your dad dropped you on your head when you were four, and here's you know how you felt, and here's we have a term for it, and here's some language for you to help describe it. Whereas I've discovered with my Zen practice, and now just the inklings of Reiki, that that's the why. It's the next. It's getting to the what. You know, why you feel the way you feel may be interesting, and that's okay to understand. But when you get past the why and you get to the what do you feel, like a word, you know, anger, resentment, joy, whatever that word may be, all of a sudden that's like going from being outside the forest and going, wow, that looks like a tree. That looks like, you know, a leaf or a butterfly, to stepping inside the forest and feeling a stand of trees around you. Like if you've ever stood in Northern California amidst the redwoods, if you go there, you cannot not feel the energy.
Right.
Maybe there are people. I don't know. But
not very many.
Yes, not very many.
Not very many. Well, we're going to have to stop here for just a few minutes. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more. You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The law of attraction is very much in today's public awareness. In reality, it is not a new concept. Join Liana Carbone for Living Wisdom, the Art of Shamanism and Spirituality. Discover the roots of the law of attraction and go beyond its theories to manifest a life of balance and prosperity. Living Wisdom can be heard each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network. Come join us to dream, learn, and heal.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Win your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Reiki practitioners everywhere prefer Astrolite massage tables because of optimum portability, leg clearance, easy setup, comfort, and quality. For 15 years, Rampa Enterprises, previously Magic Flute, has been shipping tables around the world to the global Reiki community.
Why wait any longer to get yours? Contact us now through our website at www.portablemassagetables.com and we'll help you select just the right table to fit your needs. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me Grant Melcher from Austin, Texas, and we're just delving into a wonderful beginner mind conversation.
Yes.
And beginner hand conversation. Yes. Conversation about Reiki.
Yeah.
And also, what is really intriguing for me, because there is always this... Well, I would say for me, there is always this kind of seduction of potential. And quite often, it's a seduction. Because, as you probably know, we have unlimited potential. And what we live is one finite bit of that potential.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm doing in interviewing you is somehow seeing... What is the extent, how can we, what is our imagination doing when we extend the practice of what I know as Reiki into your life, how it is right now? And I find that very interesting. And one of the things that really intrigues me, because money, you know, is a part of our system, but it also is very in the forefront these days. And I have loved hearing about your choice of, well, of how you stand in relationship to money and to, quote, making a living and so on. And, I mean, I don't know too many people who make a living by going and doing one-hour gigs at nursing homes.
I don't either.
I mean, you're fairly unique, right? So, somebody could say, well, there's not much future in that, but actually there's lots of future in it.
And I'm just interested in your talking a little bit about that, because I think sometimes in Reiki we get involved in looking at material, at the material world, and mixing that up with the richness of our inner life. And, you know, the difficulty for me is, do I have to give up my material world desire in order to have a rich inner life? And there is this conversation that happens a lot.
That conversation happens a lot.
Yes?
But let me, actually, what struck me, if I could zip back to the word, the word potential before we get to the money thing. I think potential is one of those words that I think we really need to be careful with in our society. And you probably know where I'm going to go with this, but I think the word...
I don't know. I'm up for it, though, wherever you're going.
The word potential has been very difficult for me in my life, because when I was young, it so implies a future. It's not a here and now thing. It's a future thing.
Yes, I agree.
And it usually is somebody else's version of what you could do.
Right.
And or what you should do.
Right.
Your potential.
Right.
You need to reach your potential.
Right.
And I have found that the more I explore myself with these different things like yoga, meditation, Reiki, that word has been very violent to me. Mm-hmm. Very seductively violent. And it's not the word.
No, I totally get it.
It's the mindset. Because I popped out of the womb and I had a pretty high... They tested me and did all this stuff, and I was very intelligent, apparently, when I was young.
So that's an interesting assumption here now, but okay.
So Mom and Dad had a lot of high hopes, and they thought my potential was tremendous.
Uh-huh.
And so for most of my adult life, to leave space in my life to explore things to just happen, to chase dreams, if you will, I have found that I've had to work with that word, because I was always a kid who was in the advanced classes. I was always a kid that was, you know, skipped a grade. I was the kid that was, you know, had the high IQ. I was the kid that, you know, he's going to be, you know, parents are both well educated, and he's going to be, you know, an engineer, a doctor, a lawyer, or something like this. And all of a sudden, when that took a turn in my 20s, and I turned into the guy that wanted to do music or be a rock star, my ego went... family didn't understand that. And that word potential, you know, boy, did I hear that. You're not fulfilling your potential.
Right.
You're not being all that you can be. You're not. I had no idea until these last few years, and they've really come up. And I imagine that Reiki will probably, like a scalpel, will help bring up more of that stuff. You know, it's just in there. You know, and we all have it, of one kind
right.
or another.
Right.
And my parents love me. They're both still alive. You know, Bob and Nola, I love you. I love my folks. They're just wonderful. And the fact that they're still alive and I get a chance to talk to them about these things, and because it's hard for them too. They had no idea. They wanted the best for me.
Right.
And they still do. And when they're, we were talking earlier about sort of the forest,
right,
and stepping into the forest of experience, and the difference between intellectualizing what a forest looks like and then getting rid of that and going to the what and stepping into the forest. My parents, I think, as they've seen sort of this growth, and it's hard for them because it's hard to do this. It is hard when you look at your crap. I don't know if I can say that or not, but when you look at your garbage, you can edit that out.
No, it's in. Yeah.
when you look at your stuff that you're stuck on, that keeps you from having these wonderful relationships and opening up, and it keeps you from being healed. I had no idea until recently how much I needed to be healed, and that it was okay for me to open up and trust that I can be healed. And in doing Reiki for 4 days with you has helped put a focus on that. It's okay to be healed. I can hear that going through my head because I have this resistance to being healed. Because my story is that I'm not filling my potential.
Uh-huh.
So it's not okay to be healed because, you know, that's your story. That's who you are. If you get rid of that, then who the heck are you? And so it's been very difficult for my parents. They don't understand, like, well, you know, you do what? You sing in nursing homes? How is that reaching your potential? But then when they come down here, I mean, Mom plays the fiddle. When they come down here, they see the energy of it. They step into the forest.
Uh-huh.
And Mom picks up that fiddle, and I say, hey, you know, you are my sunshine in G. And she's like, all right. And she'll fiddle along, and she's in the forest with me. And the other stuff, the potential, is gone. And Dad's sitting there, and he's just, you know,
Enjoying
and seeing it. And they're in the forest with me. And I still go back to my parents, and I want their... I mean, I'm 43, and I still want their approval, Phil.
Of course.
It's like, oh, my gosh. I just said that, like, live here on radio. But it's true.
Yeah,
you know,
it's true.
It's true. And I want them to see that... what they produced in me, the potential that I am fulfilling, is so beyond what they were able to understand during their upbringing.
Right.
You know, it's like they had some tough upbringing. It was very different.
Right.
And so what got passed to me, they didn't pass on quite as much garbage, and they had this good intent, but now it's up to me to
right.
say, okay, it's okay if I leave space in my life. And if I organize my life to have that space in it for the mystery. Because if I don't leave that space, where's the mystery going to grow up?
Grant, fantastic.
Yay.
A great place to end.
Wonderful. We'll get to money next time.
Hey, we've already gotten there.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Phyllis. I have so enjoyed these 4 days. I mean...
great.
Thoroughly enjoyed. It's been my pleasure and my privilege.
Great. Thank you very much. And it's been my privilege to be there with you and to watch. Yeah. And now to listen.
Yeah.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the 7th Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.